How do you not dance?
Man dancing just involves the movement of the arms and a little thing. No feet movement, just little and a bob of the head.
Well, if your butt is planted on a chair, it's very difficult to move.
No, but very nice. Very nice. You busted the moves there, Steve Salisbury. Welcome to the program.
Good to see you again. Happy, what are we? Do we Happy Good Friday? Is that what we do? Happy Good Friday?
I don't know.
Happy Easter in a couple days. So.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Good Friday. Everybody has it off. You know, in America, we don't.
I was going to ask you, what's the situation in America? You don't have holidays for either that or Monday?
No, you have Easter off. If you're in school, I think we get a week off.
Okay.
And when I was in college, we got spring break, which I think was 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks. It's always pretty. It might have been a week. I don't remember. But it was always good. And I like the fact that you get 4 days off, which is ironic because, you know, I was listening to Brett this morning. Driving in and listening to him talk about local footy and the fact that on Good Friday, you know, the league has tussled with whether or not we put games on or we don't, and the church is saying, oh, no, don't put games on, you know, honor the day. So it's interesting because I think most people think of the U.S. as being a more religious place, yet we don't get those days off.
Yeah.
Whereas Australia, I think they're kind of like, you know, religion's just part of me. Whereas some people defines people, and some folks in the U.S., it defines them. But here you get the days off. I think, let's be honest, so it's just about the days off, isn't it? So why don't we all just be honest about that? It's just about the days off.
I think probably for 90% of people it is about the days off. And I'm sorry, I didn't realise you didn't know, because I saw it earlier this morning, but I just broke the news to you that Gary Shandling's died at the age of 66.
That bums me out. Gary Shandling was, I remember him because, so if you don't know, he was an actor. He did the Larry Sanders Show.
Great show.
You know what? You and Ed Wyatt rave about that. I mean, you've said great show like three times. Ed Wyatt used to always talk about it. I don't think I ever saw it. Was it an HBO thing?
Yeah,
I didn't have HBO on my cable package. So I never really saw it. But I remember him. He was a stand-up comic. And then when Johnny Carson, who was like the first real great late-night host of a show, when he would take time away, it was like Jay Leno would sometimes host for him.
Yep.
The other guy that would do it was Gary Shandling. Sometimes Joan Rivers would as well. But Shandling was always very funny, very funny. And then I read that Larry Sanders Show, actually when they were putting it together, they got the idea of Gary doing it went because of them doing the Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Because it was a parody of that, and it was brilliantly done. He was so narcissistic in it, but he did it beautifully. It was just—he's
a very talented guy.
It appeared so natural. He's just a natural at that thing. And Jeffrey Tambor, who was on that show as well,
he was always very funny. Jeff Tambor.
I'm trying to think of the show's producer. I can't. His name's gone completely out of my head. He was hysterical, and it was like what you see happen in a radio station or a TV station, no holds barred.
Right.
So it's what the stuff that happens off the camera where, you know, you actually do call someone in the station a you-know-what, and it was brilliant. I loved it.
I think it is. I mean, I've told people, I mean, I met with a guy yesterday for a meeting, and we were talking a little bit about SEN and kind of the stuff that happens here. And I think there's a lot. I think at some point somebody could actually put out a little bit of a book about some of the stuff that's happened here. Yes, I think they could. Because there's been some really funny. Don Rickles hosted a lot too from Gabe and Mount Eliza. Gabe's right. I do remember Don Rickles. See, Don Rickles, you can't get Don Rickles now without. Don Rickles, I don't think he can say a sentence without dropping an F bomb. But anytime you ever hear Don Rickles, it's flip this and flip that.
But he's also very politically incorrect now.
Good for him.
Yeah, well, but he always has been. But now, some of the stuff that he was doing in the 70s and 80s, no way, no. George Carlin's the same.
Well, Carlin passed away as well. Rickles is still alive, I think. Gabe will tell us if Rickles is still alive. I think he is.
Now, Ronnie, it is? Yeah, Ronnie on the SMS. I was trying to confirm that Johan Cruyff had passed away too. I was going to talk to JP Howcroft about that a little later on, the absolutely brilliant Dutch soccer player.
So is there anything else? What do we hit next? So we've hit. Do we want to talk about the bombing in Belgium? I mean, We're really bringing it down.
We've got Gary and Seaford on the line who wants to mention something. Go, Gary.
Yeah, good day, guys. Just Stephen Phoebe. Just felt compelled to pick up the phone. I don't care what he did on the footy field, but, you know, what a gutsy bastard, and just, yeah, inspiration, and I just wish him all the best, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Gary. Appreciate that. The Bali stuff, I wasn't aware of the Bali stuff with Stephen Phoebe and how close he was and how he was picking up pieces of humans.
He was there back in 02.
I'm trying to think. He missed
the first bombing.
Yeah, he missed being in the nightclub by about 10 minutes.
Wasn't Jason McCartney there too as well?
Yeah,
was
he? Yeah, he certainly was.
Jeez.
So that was just horrific. But good call. And it's been. He's obviously been to hell and back, but he's coming out the other side, which is good.
That's
news.
Good. Did you happen to catch any of the game last night?
Bits and pieces.
I think there are a couple lessons to be learned from that game.
Right.
Number one. I work with Kevin every week. I've talked to Kevin Bartlett probably every week for the past 10 years, at least once. And if not on the phone, in here or in his office. Kevin understands radio.
Yep.
And he understands kind of pushing the dial and that type of thing. But to say that Carlton were going to lose the game by 191 points. I mean, Kevin, the thing about Kevin is that it's all for 2 months, all we've heard about is how bad Carlton was going to suck. And do you think that maybe those guys were listening as well? I mean, there's professional pride. And so I'm watching that last night, and I was actually listening to it on the radio in the car. And I thought, well, I heard the guys, I heard our call, and I heard the guys say that the Blues had been playing well, and they were doing much better. They had a lot more possessions, and they had, I think, a 9-point lead at this point in time. And I thought, well, you know what? Isn't this interesting? Everybody badmouths Carlton for the longest time. And do you think that maybe, I mean, someone said, you know, Kevin Hillier sucks. I mean, there's no way in hell that Kevin Hillier can host a 5-hour program. There's no, I mean, seriously, could they find a worse, I mean, if you heard that over and over again, if you heard that, you're going to go, you know, screw him. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do it. So the whole idea that everybody has been jumping on the bandwagon, saying how bad Carlton was. So I sat there and I listened to that and I thought, I'm going to break some news. I thought about this and I thought, Richmond getting a little bit overconfident. Clearly they're the better side. They should probably win this ball game by 4 or 5 goals with relative ease. But I, in one of my tipping competitions, I tipped Carlton. I thought, screw it. I mean, I think I was like 2% of the people did
with
that.
With that sort of logic, did you tip Essendon?
No, I won't. Okay. But see, the Essendon thing, I mean, this idea that they're not going to win a game, I would bet you $1 million. I shouldn't do this. But I would bet you $1 million that those guys will win a game. Because don't you think...
Terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing that. A few New Year's Eves ago, I was talking to these guys, and I've been called up about it several times. But these are Australians, and this is a New Year's Eve party, and we're talking about Lance Armstrong, and these guys were saying, I don't remember the specifics, but it was about Lance Armstrong winning, whether or not he'd won before. I don't remember the specifics, but I said, I'll bet you $1 million. And turns out I was wrong. So I saw these guys on New Year's Eve again, and they're like, man, you owe me $1 million. But I am going to say that I think that Essendon will absolutely win. They'll probably win 2, maybe 3 games this year. And, yeah, they've got maybe – so if there are, there's 25 players aside in the AFL, and there's 18 teams. So what's that? That's 500 AFL plus, so the best 500 players, right? So maybe you're talking about with Essendon, you're talking about players 501 to 515 now have been brought into the side because of the suspensions of the other guys. I mean, they're not going to be that bad. I think they're probably going to finish on the bottom. I wouldn't bet they're going to be in the 8. But this idea that they're not going to win a game, I mean, that's professional pride is huge. Have you ever been, at any point in your life, has anyone ever doubted you, told you that you couldn't do it? You're like, you know, F them. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you do.
So I watched that last night. I also thought, so if you are, the other thing is that there's this expression in the NFL, and it's any given Sunday. And on any given Sunday, any team can beat another. Mm. And so I watched that game for a little bit last night, and I thought, you know what? I think eventually Richmond will pull this thing out because they are the better team, and they've got finals experience, and they got some, I mean, they had a depleted list as well last night.
Yeah, they did.
But I just thought, wow, this idea that, you know, don't believe the hype. It's like when in betting, when the whole world's going one way, I tend to go the other. Now, on the SEN footy tips, are you doing that? Have you signed up to the SEN footy
tips?
No,
I haven't.
Well, you better get on that.
Sorry.
Check out sen.com.au and click on footy tips. You can join a competition. So I'm there as the man from Sacramento, which that's a name I never really liked. I thought that was such a corny name, but I thought, stuff it, I'll put it on there. So I put it on there, and I went with Richmond in the first game.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of went the company line there, but on this other thing, I'm like, yeah, screw it, I'm going the Blues.
Right. So the one that's not publicly published, you've gone
that's
the
right,
Blues.
That's right, yeah, because at the end
one,
of the, yeah,
because exactly. you didn't want 25 callers ringing 9429 1116 now going, hey, Salisbury, you dick.
Yeah, dick. Oh, trust me, I hear that more than enough already, so I don't need people calling me and saying that today.
It's 20 past one, going to take a break. Steve Salisbury is with me all this hour here on Afternoons on 1116 SEN. 23 past one here on 1116. It's the end. More man dancing going on. Steve Salisbury is in the studio. Hey, what do you make of Ben Simmons? $130 million shoe deal he's likely to get. A shoe deal for $130 mil.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's really, I mean, that's great if you can get it. I don't have anything to say. I mean, I'd wear pretty much anything for $130 million. Yeah. I'd walk around buck naked for $130 million bucks. I mean, seriously. $130 million just to play. It is what I tell you what I'd say to sign the paper, because the number of guys who've come out, it's interesting with Ben Simmons right now. You're going to hear a lot of people, and we're already starting to hear it. And I said this a few weeks ago, and get ready for there to be a lot of people questioning whether or not he should be the first player chosen in the draft. Get ready for people to come out and start criticizing aspects of his game, his character, his attitude. There's going to be all this different dissection of him. And a lot of these people won't even know who he is, but they'll watch a game. And there was something a couple weeks ago by a writer who said, oh, he shouldn't be the first player chosen. This kid from Duke, whose name escapes me, should be the first player chosen. And I thought, that's ridiculous. I said, Ben's got all these skills. Now, whether or not he's going to be a superstar is a completely different
thing.
Brandon Ingram, thanks. So that's very good knowledge for you. I didn't even know you're a big college basketball fan, but that's...
read it in the paper.
Anyway, so he is... It's very... I mean, Ingram's a good player. But as far as Ben Simmons goes, people are going to badmouth him. But the fact that he's coming with such hype, if he doesn't pan out, that $130 million will probably be wasted by Nike. I'm assuming it was Nike who did it. And I just think that that's a case of... It's you got to strike while the iron is hot. Kudos to his agent. Well, he's going to now get himself an agent, but kudos to his agent.
The bronze agent is his agent.
No, that's good.
Clutch Sports Group.
Clutch Sports Group. Huh? So it's actually, I think that's fabulous. I think that's great. But I do. I mean, if he doesn't, like if he were to say, no, I don't know why you wouldn't sign the sneaker deal. I mean, if someone's going to give you $130 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
And literally, is there anything you wouldn't do for $130 million? I wouldn't murder someone for $130 million. But pretty much anything else I would.
Has there been, I mean, I can't recall, and there would have been, because we've had him in football, a number one draft pick that has actually stunk up the room?
Oh, there have been a lot. Yeah, there have been a lot in basketball. There's a guy named Michael Olowokandi.
Oh, you remember him?
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Michael Olowokandi.
That must have been the mid-80s?
I think, he was 90s. About 97. He was he went to UOP, which is just south of Sacramento in a city called Stockton,
yep,
which is a forgettable place, unfortunately, Stockton. They, at one point, had the highest murder rate in California.
Oh,
Stockton,
wow.
Stockton did, yeah. It's a great place. So he went there, and he was pretty good, but he played against inferior talent, and when he got into the pros, so much of being a success in sport is between the years.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he didn't have a lot going on between the years. He didn't have the right attitude. So what people are trying to do now is they're trying to say, well, if I had the first pick, I wouldn't pick Ben Simmons. And I say, that's ridiculous. He's the most talented player. He has the most upside. Whether or not he realizes that potential, we don't know. Whether or not he has injury, we don't know. But they're saying things like, well, he padded his statistics in bad games, and you know his team was terrible. The only mistake that I can see Ben Simmons made would be going to the school where he went. He went to LSU. LSU didn't even make the tournament this year. First right. time since, I think, 1988 or something, that the guy who was the first player chosen didn't make the tournament. So if he'd have gone to a different school, maybe gone to Duke or Michigan State or another place like that, Kentucky, Kansas, he would have had a better coach. He would have had he would have been at a place where they're used to dealing with superstar athletes. Like, I don't think LSU – I think he was bigger than LSU basketball. Whereas a kid goes to Duke, he just falls right in because Coach K at Duke has had like the best college basketball players really ever. So I think that's the only mistake he's made. But I would select him first. Now, that's not to say that he's going to be better than Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram might be a great pro, but he has all the skills – and all the tools that these guys like. So he's very much like a Magic Johnson, LeBron type player. He can't shoot a lick right now, but a lot of kids his age can't. So he's going to have to come in, work on that. But he has athleticism and size and his length. When they talk about length, talk about how you're a long athlete, you have long arms, that type of thing, because that can be very disruptive on a basketball court. So yeah, I think it'll be good. But he could be chosen first and could be a complete flop, but I don't think he will be. I think he's very talented. I think he's going
to
be fine.
1998, Michael Olowokandi to the Clippers.
Okay, yeah, 98. So yep. I was off by a year. It's not
yep,
too bad.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Not too bad for an old guy.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It was almost as good as you pulling Brandon Ingram's name out of your backside. I did not expect you to do that.
And Simmons is sort of the tip of the iceberg for Australian basketball in terms of...
There are a few others, Thon Makers, another young
he's
kid.
The one that the following year they're expecting to do exceptionally well.
That's right. So they're, I mean, it's a hell... I mean, you've got... There's only 25 million people here today. I mean, probably in a month's time there'll be 26 or 27 million. But it's still a relatively small country that does punch above its weight in terms of sending world-class athletes out there. Which is amazing because the Australians are the laziest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Aye.
See, look at you. Look at you. I threw that thing out there and you come on, man. You know me. I'm just stirring the pot. I love Australia.
You've been to the Kevin Bartlett School of Broadcasting. I think you're a post-graduate of the Kevin Bartlett School.
Yeah, well, you work with him. He starts to rub off on you, Kev. He does. There's certain things that he says. And like he's said something to me. Like he'll tell me, he goes, "You're an idiot." And then on the air, and then he pulls off. He goes, "That was great." I said, "Thanks, Kev."
Well, he'd be a happy boy today because of Richmond winning. And for the SMS, and I think it's Krasa, who asked, Couchy and Eltham, who asked, "Did Carlton win?" Where have you been, Couchy?
Krasa, let's look. Joe Barry Carroll, yeah, very Adam in Yarraville, nice. JB Carroll, he was like 82, 83, J.B. Carroll, just barely is what they used to call. They used to call him just barely because he was just so, J.B. was so 80. Relaxed. The Warriors, 1980, good knowledge. The Warriors used to just pick the worst people ever. Purvis Ellison, he was chosen by the Sacramento Kings in 1989. Interestingly, all these years leading up to 89 that they had the lottery, you had a lot of really good players come out. And then the Kings, who have been terrible all but 8 years in their existence in Sacramento, get the first pick in the draft. And my buddies and I, Purvis Ellison, they never called him, they called him Never Nervous Purvis.
Really?
Yeah. And he wasn't great. So he was, that's right. So there you go. Paul Fitzroy. Listen to the knowledge of these people. Stockton's home to Nick and Nate Diaz, who are both AF, or what are they calling it now?
UFC.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's a tough place, Stockton. And they've got this one school, University of the Pacific, which is a private school, costs like 25, maybe 30 large to send your kid there every year. And they had a basketball team, and Michael Olowokandi went there, and he just ripped up the Pacific Coast. I think were they the Pacific Coast? Don't remember what the league was, but yeah, he was great. But then he got to the pros, and he was terrible. So that's the thing you have to look at. That's why people are like, well, does the fact that Ben didn't make the tournament, is that going to hinder? Nah, it's not going to hinder anything. He's fine. He just has to make sure that he's got the right attitude and that he's going to work hard and everything. And everything that anybody who knows him well has said is that, oh, look, he's got all the tools. So it's going to be fun to watch him.
Well, we might get to watch him at the Olympics. The last story I saw was that he's actually thinking of playing.
So I'll tell you how I feel about that. I don't think he should. I know how Australians feel, and you guys want him to play because you want to put the best team on the court.
Well, haven't got Dante. We won't have Dante Exum.
Is he not going to be ready?
No.
Okay, so you don't have Dante Exum. But you do have Bogut, and you've got Joe Ingles, and you've got a few other guys.
Patty
you got some
Mills.
Guys. That's right, Patty Mills. You got guys playing over in in Europe did a play.
Yep.
But my feeling is this, and Andrew Gaze ripped me about this, but I don't think he should play in the Olympics because at his age, he's too young. What happens if he does his knee? People go, well, he's already signed a contract. He's already signed a contract. Well, you know what? Not that contract. Not the contract he needs. And the other thing is it's like he needs to play. I would say play in the NBA. That's where you're going to make your millions. You're going to get $130 million for putting on shoes. And someone here says that nobody would pay $130 to take off my clothes. Krazza. That's funny, Krazza. Ask around. But the
Steve knows people.
Seriously, just ask, Krazza. I'll give you some numbers. The thing about it is it's like, why risk what could potentially, I mean, make your money and then bring the nation a gold medal? Because I do think that at some point, I don't know that Stroy's ever going to beat the U.S. for a gold, but we do play this year. We played in the last Olympics. We played in these Olympics as well. Stroy has a very tough draw. So they're in our pool, USA's pool. So that's going to be fun to watch, and that's a good yardstick because you're going to have LeBron and you're going to have Steph Curry Team USA. So you've got the two best players in the world at this point in time. So beating the USA is going to be tough, but medaling for Australia would be something they've never done. But I still think that if you are Ben Simmons, and I know he's only 19,
yep.
My advice to him would be, Ben, and I'm sure he's listening, Ben, do not sign up for the Boomers, not yet. Get your contract, get your career going, and then do that down the road. Because if you blow out a knee and you lose a step, you potentially could miss out on millions and millions of dollars. And people who make 70K a year are going, who cares? Who cares? If you had hundreds of millions of dollars available to you because you could play basketball, and you just have to use a little bit of a different mindset. And so that's why I would say, don't play. Play when you're 25. Give it the next Olympics are, 23, whatever it'll be at that point.
Yep. Okay. Steve Salisbury's in the studio with me. Happy to take your calls, 9429 1116, and more of your SMS thoughts on 0433 98 1116. It's afternoons here on Good Friday. 23-2 here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports. Steve Salisbury's in the studio with me. I resent the Aussies are too lazy comment, but I can't even be bothered arguing.
See, Dassey gets it. He knows I'm taking the piss. I told you my story when I moved here. People are screwing with me constantly. And I'm like, I'd say to my friends, I'm like, what's wrong with these people? I mean, I could be nuts. I could be packing heat. I could have a good, you don't know who I am. But they just screwed with me constantly. And my friend goes, dude, or surprise said, mate, they're taking the piss to see how you handle it.
Yep.
I said, so if I go back at them, we're not going to be fighting. And he goes, nah, now they're going to love it. So what I'm doing is that Dazza sees that. Dazza gets it.
Right.
I don't think Australians are any lazier than anyone else. I don't think they're particularly bright. But they're certainly no lazier than anyone else.
It's like we would like to call a compound fracture there.
Yeah.
The Good Friday appeal is on today. The telephone number to donate is 1-300-277-325. 1-300-277-325, approaching the 2 million mark.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes, you can.
So that is all that money goes to the Children's Hospital.
Yes.
So how else is the Children's Hospital funded?
From bequests, benefactors.
Okay, so
they actually have sponsors.
Yeah, no, I do realize it's a beautiful place. I had to take my son there earlier this year.
I actually did some work there.
Did you really?
Yeah, brain surgeon. No, joke.
Okay.
They actually have a working television studio in the hospital.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. And I did some voiceover stuff there for a couple of presentations.
I think they have a fish tank there too, don't they?
Yeah, they would have a fish tank. It's a really funny place, the Royal Children's Hospital. You walk in and you can be both absolutely devastated with what you see and absolutely inspired, all in the space of 10 feet.
No, you're right. You are right.
It's quite an amazing place. I did a few sessions there. And just when you walk in and you walk through and all the different departments and the people you see in the cafeteria area and all that.
There's a really nice play area.
Yeah.
Right next to that. So my kids, I've taken them a few times and they love that because they roll down the hill and then inevitably someone goes, Dad, I gotta go wee. So I go, all right, cool, let's cruise into the cafe area and we'll go in and we'll get a cafe. And I was there a few times during the winter when it was freezing.
Yep.
So we popped in and I got them a hot chocolate and I had a usually a latte, Kev. Usually a latte.
I'm a latte man.
Yeah, I love a latte. Don't mind a latte. And the there's your Johan Cruyff story right there. He dies at 68.
Yep.
But at any rate, what you're saying is exactly right. There was a kid sitting with his family who he was clearly a cancer patient,
yep.
I'm assuming. And you're just going, well, it just puts things in perspective. You know, it's kind of
like, does.
You know, I heard the story this week of a guy I used to work with years ago who had a son who was hit and he fell down and hit his head. And that was it. He's only 15 years old. So there's stuff happening all over the place where you just kind of go, my goodness, you know, I don't have it so bad. Things seem bad, but they're not if you really take a look around. So anytime I go into places like the Children's Hospital, Royal Children's, I am inspired and I feel thankful that I look at my three idiots and they're all great and they're healthy and that's really good. So.
Yeah, that's what I said at the top of the show. I haven't had to take any of my children there at any stage, which I'm grateful for.
No,
but if you did have to, you know that you've got, you know, the best people in the world working there and the best facilities and the money that's raised today. Someone's just said it's like top-up funding. Well, by the time they get to over 10 million tonight, which they will.
10 million funds a lot of research, if they do research, and it funds... I don't know. I'm not sure what doctors are making these days, but I'm thinking you could probably...
Everything medical is expensive. We know that.
Well, that is true. That's right. I'm thinking you probably can use... you could probably get 4 or 5 doctors for $10 million.
You think that right. many?
Thank you. Really? You might be able to get a heart surgeon for that.
Goodness gracious me.
Well, they got meerkats there, too.
I haven't seen the meerkats.
That's what Billy... Oh, and it says, so...
Government funds as well.
Okay, well, of course, the government funds everything here.
Well, hope...
Most powerful body in Australia is
the
government.
You would hope there'd be government funds going in there. It's for our kids' health.
With the amount of money that they get on the damn parking fines, right, and the speeding tickets, and the red light... And do you realize, Kev, did I tell you this? In the first, like, month and a half I was back in Australia, I had 6 fines.
Really?
5 speeding and a red light. And the red light wasn't really, I mean, it sounds like people are going, oh, you're a hoon. No, man, everything was within like 4 or 5 Ks of the speed limit.
Yep.
I just.
And the red light one I got done, that's the last fine I got, which was about 6 months ago.
Did you get out of it? Because I got a story for you.
Near Queen Vic Market, turning right to go down Victoria Parade. Point something of a second I was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It said on the thing, point something of a second. I'm thinking. How can you measure that for a start?
So if you didn't know, here's exactly what they do.
I didn't challenge it. It's too much bloody.
No, it's not. I've got a story for you.
Oh,
and
okay.
this is right here. You want to get out of a red light fine. They're $338 or something.
Yeah, it was.
They don't stuff around with that.
Yeah, it was.
So I took my kids to the zoo, I don't know, back in sometime during the winter, June or whatever it was. And when you're turning from, I think you're going on to, I think it's Royal.
Royal Parade.
It's like in Cemetery Road or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You make a right turn, and there was someone in front of me, so they pull out into the intersection, but not really as far. Like, I pull into the middle of the intersection when I'm going to make a right turn while the cars are coming in the opposite direction. This person didn't. They pulled maybe a quarter of the way in there. So I went out and left a couple meters between my car and their car. Then the light goes. At this point, because I'm in the intersection, in my mind, I've committed to going through the lot.
Yep.
So what happens is the light turns red. They snap a picture because there's a sensor. There's a sensor in the line. They snap a picture, and then they snap one again a second and a half later. So if you're still there, they don't give you the fine. But if you proceeded through, they give you the fine. So I contested it. I wrote a letter, and I said, here's why I committed, and it was safe, and blah, blah. They wrote back, and they said, screw you. Pay the $336 or whatever it is. And I thought, no. I'm not going to do it. So I thought, all right, I'll walk. And this is to your point. I had to go into town. I had to go down there on William Street and walk in and wait.
I'll look at the photo and all that
look
stuff.
Look at the queue and the guy. So the guy pulls it up. He goes, oh, mate, what are you going to do? You going to pay it? And I went, well, I don't want to pay. I want to fight it. And he goes, okay, fight it. And I said, well, what's going to happen? He goes, I don't know. He goes, but I go, am I going to get fined anymore for fighting it? And he goes, nah. So I said, screw it. I'm going to fight it. So we did whatever needed to be done. No joke. 2 weeks later. Maybe 3, I get a letter in the mail that says no further action needed.
Really?
I swear to God.
I just paid the bloody thing straight away.
Yes, and that's what it is. Everybody pays it. But they're thinking, I mean, believe it or not, these are rational thinking people, some of them. And they're like, you know, I did one before where I was making a turn. I was driving, I was heading over to the north, and I was at the corner of, I made a left turn, right, on a red light. And I said, I was out there, and the light was, I thought there was a chance to go, and I went, and they got me. And I saw the light go off, and I thought, damn it, I think I just got done for that. So I said, when the letter came to me, I wrote my letter back, and I said, well, there was a car bearing down on me, and I didn't think it could turn, so I didn't think it would stop in time. So I hung a left rather than going through the intersection. So I sent that off, and I kind of thought, well, wink, wink, if I get it, great. If not, anyway, they wrote back, and I said, well, we checked the photo. There was no car in the picture. So I'm like, okay, yeah, you got me. So I went ahead and paid the $338. But, you know, you got to try, right? So
Steve's available on 94291116. If you've got any charges that you need to get off, Steve will be able to help you come up with a plausible excuse.
Oh, absolutely.
50% of the time.
That's right. Well, I'm one for two. I mean, yes. 330, what can you do? I don't even know if it's 338. It might be like 380 something.
I can't remember.
But it's pretty expensive.
Oh, I know it is. It's over $300.
And so, you know, don't forget we're ugly. That's quite funny.
Yep.
Dazza says. No, actually, I think Australians are really attractive. Really attractive people. Maybe third or fourth best looking people on the planet.
Sarcasm is the lowest form of...
I know it is. It is really, seriously. But that's, I tell you what, fight it because, you know, make these people do their jobs.
Okay.
All right?
All right, I will.
So if you've got nothing else out of the 46 minutes that I've spent with you today, you know that you can get out of a speeding fine or a red light fine by contesting.
It is 14 minutes to two. We'll take a break. Come back more of Steve Salisbury. Attorney and practicing attorney, almost, or Philadelphia lawyer, we should call you.
Philadelphia lawyer. Yeah. Well, I figure I want to help people. I've got a very philanthropic bone going through my body. I want to help Australians. I do.
Sarcasm is the lowest form.
I'm not sarcastic. So someone says here, Kev.
Yeah.
So is SCN encouraging perjury?
No, we're not.
Perjury is not spelled correctly, by the way. You got to spell it correctly. No, we're not. We're just saying that, you know, I feel like $350 means more to me than it does to the state of Victoria.
Yeah, that's right.
And if there's anyone else out there that doesn't feel the same, you're lying. Seriously. Come on.
Written, spoken, and authorized by Steve Salisbury.
I mean, but seriously, $400. You got to. I mean, the reason I fought mine was because I was looking at getting 11 points.
We only get 12, don't we?
Right. And
I'm
thinking,
get a letter. You get a letter when you're getting up close to it.
Well, I think I had 9, and I'm like, you better chill out. And I said, I'm going to. I think it was an 8. And that's like three. And I really, I don't write a red. I let me just say this, because clearly people are starting to think that I'm a bad dude. But I do think that the red light cameras are important, because if you have ever seen the accidents in an intersection when someone runs red light, that is horrible.
I had someone run one yesterday. I pulled my car up as the light went from amber. I saw it was amber, so I pulled my car up, and I reckon I could have counted to 10, and this bloke went straight through the red light past me. I was like, you're an idiot.
I've done it, and I've seen it happen. I've done it where I'm not paying attention, and then I sit there, and I start to shake because I'm thinking, oh, my God, that could have been it. I've had a couple, oh, my God, that could have been it moments in my life.
Oh, we've all had those.
And you sit there, and I mean, the first time I had an oh my God moment, I pulled over and I thought, oh man, I almost got hit by a bus. And I didn't. And I don't know why I didn't go, but I was sitting there, I was in San Diego leaving the beach on my motorbike, and I was like 20 cars back from the light, and there was a free rein on the right, and I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna go to the right. For some reason I stopped. And a second later this bus went by me at like 40 miles an hour. And I sat there and I started thinking about what it would have been like being tumbled under that bus.
Oh.
And I had to pull over and kind of like,
no.
I was not old enough to drink, but I'm like, man, if I could, I'd shoot back some whiskey right now.
Hey, thanks for coming in for the hour. Appreciate it.
Anytime. I always enjoy working with you.
Yeah, good fun.
We should do this more often.
Yeah, we should.
All right, man.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Steve Salisbury in the studio. Coming up, we'll have a little listen back to Bill Laurie and Rodney Hogg together. And also in the next hour, JP Howcroft will be in to preview the big A-League match tonight between the Victory and the Wanderers. And we'll talk some NRL with Matty Russell. Big hour on the way.